Luke chapter 3. Again, it's talking about what John said of Christ. In verse 17, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which he had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So we're gonna take a look at reproved. Let's just look in about three or four places where it's used. Go to John 8. It means to chasten, to admonish, to rebuke, to convince, to chide.
We do that around here occasionally.
That's my job. This is Jesus talking to the Jews that believed on him. Verse 43, it says, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father is all you're capable of doing, you will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you yet not believe? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." And he's saying this to Jews that believed on him, who's accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. But it says, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" That's this word, reproved. Okay? What, Gary, you're doing it?
Well, what were they doing to it? They were accusing him? Is that part of the deal here?
No, remember, this is the whole thing. He's pushing him over the edge. And so in verse 31, it says, he said these things to the Jews which believed on him. And then he went on and finally ended at verse 59. We've studied that many times. Okay? But I just want you to see how it can reproved or convinceth is. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Remember, there had to be this incredible transaction. On the 10th of Nisan, 4 days before Passover, he entered Jerusalem, and everybody was cheering and laying palm branches down. They were singing the 118th Psalm. They were acknowledging that he was Messiah. 4 days later, everyone was either silent or yelled, "Crucify him." And so what he did in those 4 days was unbelievable. He pushed everybody's buttons. He pushed everyone over the edge of the cliff so that flesh and blood could not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen?
It's amazing the Messiah everybody was looking for.
It's no different today.
Yeah, it's now my life will be great.
No, I mean, we've said this many times, but Judas denied Christ or sold him out because he was not the Messiah that Judas expected him to be. He was of the Zealots.
Yeah.
It was a political, they wanted a political solution, and Jesus just made fun of it. All right, Hebrews 12. Again, we're studying reproved. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And the word, the exhortation there is this word, admonishment. Okay? One more. Let's go to Revelation 3.
It's actually when it said rebuke of him, that's the word.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
You said exhortation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. John hasn't changed. Do you notice that?
He's watching you all the time.
That's right. He just did that from the beginning.
That's why you're afraid of him.
I'm afraid of John? Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me. All right. This is the message to the church at Laodicea. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And again, rebuke is this word, reprove. So everybody, I mean, nobody likes to be rebuked.
Especially if they're doing something wrong.
This is the homespun wisdom of Gary
Buckman. We're going to have two books. One, the Ronnie-isms, and the other, the Gary-isms. Okay, back to Luke.
This
chapter 3.
Blowing my mind, all the doors these scriptures open. It's like light just pouring in.
Amen. Verse 19, Luke 3. We're back to Luke. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now John reproved Herod for divorcing his wife and marrying the wife of his brother Philip. And his wife's name was Herodias. And she had a daughter by Philip. So it was Herod's stepdaughter. And I don't think it says it in the Bible, but from ancient custom, her name is Salome or Salome. And so I want us to look at that reproving. But we're going to also look at this other scripture, the evils which Herod had done. So let's look at first, Matthew 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being therefore instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and again to improve, to please those who were gathered, and them that sat at meat with him, he commanded it to be done, to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. Now, what's that famous place where all the Jews committed suicide? Masada? That's where Herod's temple was. It was on the...
His
vacationing palace. Yeah. And there's a lot written about this from Josephus and others. And it was a mind-bending place. It was built, I think, by his father, Herod the Great. And it had a prison there. But it was just awesome in its beauty. And it overlooked this, you could see forever from it. And so they had this grand party and invited all of the leaders that were, you know, both that were loyal to Rome. And everybody knew that John had been taunting him. And his new wife, Herodias, was just shamed to death. And so this is where they beheaded him. And that's why the disciples had to go all the way up there to gather the body. Nobody knows whether they gathered the head or not. But.
That's a lot of pressure. You know, inviting all the dignitaries. Oh, yeah. Where he makes a vow, and now he's stuck.
But it's where we get the legends of the Dance of the Seven Veils and all that. But she was supposedly extremely beautiful, and Herod lusted after her, and blah, blah, blah. All right, let's look at what else happened. Well, let's see just quickly Mark 6 and see what it says about Mark. What?
Where was that? Where you just
Matthew read? 14. 1 through something or other. 1 through 12. Mark 6. Verse 14. And this Jesus was beginning his ministry in verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elijah, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto her, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of my kingdom. That had to be a hell of a dance.
Plus, he was like riffing on the story of Esther. Like,
oh, yeah, sure.
He was this big shot, you know, of history or something.
Right.
There's all kinds of stuff, weird stuff going on in that.
But the point of it, this is why I wanted to read this one. It's he had listened to John, besides the part about
him. Yeah.
And you know, well, he was coming to believe. I mean, yeah. All right.
He was spooked.
And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of the evil one, John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. So this is the stuff that he did with regard to that it speaks of in Luke with regard to his new wife, Philip's ex-wife, Herodias.
Is this the same Herod that killed all the kids when Christ was born?
Well, that's where we're going right now. This is the other evil that he did.
So it's the same guy?
Yeah. Let's go to Matthew 2. Okay, the wise men visit. They were warned. I mean, they knew the king was going to do something, so they left. They seek. Well, let's read it real quick.
I thought this was his father. But
well, I don't have the notes with me. Let me double check that. I've got all that in the other the ages of the different when the different
There's
Herods
a lot of
ruled.
Herods.
There are a lot of Herods.
Yeah.
Now. Herod
I know it wasn't Herod the Great.
Yeah.
But I think you may be right. It may have been one of the sons. Remember when we talked about Zacharias? Simon. I'm getting confused. In Luke, when it talks about Simon, who had been waiting for the consolation, that Simon was one of the sons of Herod. And he was excised from any Jewish writings from that point forward, because when he reached over and held Jesus, he said, now I can die, this because my eyes have seen the Messiah. But that was one of the sons of Herod. Now I'll double check tomorrow and see which Herod this was. All right, Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Yeah, this is a different Herod. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they sent unto him in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem is the land... in the land of Judah, and not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me a word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy, great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and Eve, saying, Arise and take the young child, etc. So the evils of Herod were not just the evils of the Herod then. It was this previous Herod that had incredible evils.
The whole family.
But this thing about the killing of the children, the same thing happened. Terah was, you remember, Abraham's father. And it says in the scriptures that he was an idol maker. People say, like, you carve a little idols or something. No, he was a high priest that defined the idols for all of those under Nimrod. Nimrod didn't have a son. And so he heard, again, Nimrod in a vision or dream or something, heard that there was this being that was going to be a challenge to him. And he did the same thing. He killed all the children. And his mother hid Abram in a cave until the time that was appointed. It was supposedly several years. And then when he came forth, Nimrod had died. And Abram was the son of the high priest. And he was therefore next in line to be to be the king. Just as Joseph was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was in line to be the next Pharaoh. And they did the same thing to the children. And then, so there's this consistency that rolls through the scripture.
History becomes a parable for us.
Now, the death of the firstborn now is celebrated in Passover, and it's a celebration of your death, because you're the firstborn, and Christ in you is the only one that's saved. So you must... That's why the predicate of Christianity has to be your death. If you don't get that, all you're doing is having a religious philosophy. Amen? I don't want to go through it again. We did it before when we went through all the different Herods and when they reigned.
It's a weird family. That whole history is bizarre. Yeah. They're all tied up with Cleopatra.
Oh, I know.
That's weird stuff.
Anthony and Cleopatra. All right. I don't have anything else. Anybody have any response to any of this?
I was just thinking about Herod's crowning evil was all tied up with this vow he made.
Yeah.
You know, sort of.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You
know.
And he didn't want to do it, but he had
to. Yeah,
had to. Gary?
It just always strikes me how this is not a history lesson.
That's for sure. All right. Take the big guy. Whoever the, who's the big guy? That's what the people ask. The big guy is the father.